Ah, oh, what more could a man want? He'd sigh contentedly above the din. She had no right to complain, had she? Matt was handsome, loyal, solvent, and he loved her. Lots of girls would give their eye teeth to be in her position. She ought to be grateful. It wasn't until much later, when she was on her lunch break, that she remembered the letter, and she pulled it out of her bag while Katie went to the loo. They'd managed to find a seat in their favourite cafe, which served filled jacket potatoes, as well as sandwiches and salads, all at a very reasonable price, and Bramble was willing Katie to get a move on so that they could return to their favourite subject, the boss, Judy. In a way, it was just as well that she was such a cow, because slagging her off helped while away the monotonous hours. The cafe was hot and crowded, and the windows, which looked out onto the busy high street, were clouded with steam. It was a beautiful sunny summer's day, and they were missing it. They should have bought sandwiches and gone to the municipal park to top up their tans. Bramble ripped open the envelope and pulled out the letter, noticing the name and address on the right-hand side. Slater Brown Solicitors, Caxton Street, Westminster, London SW1. Intrigued, she read on. Dear Miss Challoner, I regret to inform you that your grandfather, Arthur George Penrose, Lord Penrose, died on the 10th of June 2015. On behalf of the firm, I would like to offer my condolences for your loss. She stopped for a moment. It seemed so strange to see the word grandfather, for she'd never met him, and the little that she'd heard about him had been distinctly unfavourable. Why, she wondered, would they bother telling her? Lord Penrose hadn't exactly taken an interest in her or his daughter, Mary, Bramble's mother. In any case, Bramble didn't consider Mary to be her real mum. That was Cassie, who'd brought her up since she was 2 years old. Her eyes scanned down further. Lord Penrose left a will dated the 1st of June 2010, under the terms of which myself and my partner in this firm, Henry Brown, were appointed as the executors, and you are the sole residual beneficiary. This means that you inherit the entire estate after the payment of the costs of the estate administration, any debts, and inheritance tax. Lord Penrose's estate comprises the land, building, and outbuildings of Polgarry Manor, Tremarnock, as well as its contents and a sum of cash to the value of £670,000. One of our first tasks is to arrange for the assets in the estate to be valued so that we can work out the inheritance tax liability and how this might be settled. Once we have a clear indication of what this is, we will write to you again. If you would like to meet to discuss the estate in more detail, and indeed perhaps visit the manor, please let me know so that this can be arranged. Yours, etc. Bramble was so surprised that she had to reread the letter several times to make sure that she wasn't imagining it. Perhaps it was a prank and she was secretly being filmed for a TV show. She glanced around furtively, half expecting a camera crew to leap out from under the table or behind the cafe counter. But no one came. She stared at the half-eaten jacket potato on her plate and tried to collect her thoughts. Polgarry Manor? It sounded so grand. And £670,000 was an absolute fortune. The figure swam in front of her, making her dizzy. You all right? Katie asked when she returned. You look like you've seen a ghost. Bramble slid the letter across the table and Katie sat down to read, her brown eyes growing wider by the second. She was shorter and curvier than Bramble, a bit of a man magnet, with olive skin, a heart-shaped face, and hair cut into a messy dark bob. Blimey, she said at last, pushing her chair back so sharply that it tipped up, almost causing her to topple onto the customer behind, who spun around, scowling. Sorry, said Katie, with an indifferent shrug. Then she turned back to Bramble. A manor house? Cool? And all that...